Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. And it is always a great word. Your host is a little filled up this morning. I woke up early and just happened to be flipping through YouTube and came across a story, children being stolen. And I was looking and didn't quite understand at first what I was looking at until I realized that there were people stealing children off the streets of Kenya. Babies being taken from their mothers because their mothers are too poor to take care of them. And even in hospitals, they were stealing babies. And I thought of the horror of it. And then when you listen to the heartlessness of the people in the business, sit down and hear the anguish of the mother whose child was stolen. And the women saying that they have to take turns and stay awake as one watches over the others to keep a thief from stealing their children. And the thieves are bold because nothing happens to them. It breaks you down. We have to pray, family. Not just for our children, but children to come and children over this world, because the enemy is busy. And when you hear the word that some of these babies are being used for sacrifice, did you hear me? Sacrifice. Some of these stolen babies were being used for sacrifice. The devil is busy. And we have got to pray and ask God to watch over our children. We have to pray. As we all know the scripture, the love of money, the root of all kinds of evil. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. A baby in Africa is worth $400. For $400, you can buy a baby in Africa because it doesn't matter. We have to pray. Father God in heaven, I come to you this morning, lifting up the name of Jesus and asking you, Father, to please watch over our children. Protect them from all harm and evil. Protect them from those that would choose, that would hurt and harm them in the name of religion. That would not care about the pain caused by the death of these babies. So, Father God, I pray for the mothers of Kenya who have lost children. I pray for the little girls sold into slavery. I pray for our children, Lord God, and for that superstitious that would take kids to pay for sins of the fathers and the mothers and the villages. Father God, I pray for our world that has become so corrupt and evil. Father God, I pray for pastors who have to preach messages to congregations on love. Father God, help us to love our neighbors as we will love ourselves. Help us to be kind, to be nice, to be gentle, to be men and women of God who love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Men and women of God who love you with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind and strength, that believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Lord God, we know that your word says all things work for our good because we trust in you, God. We trust in you to save our children. We're trusting in you to guide us when we need to go towards you, oh God. Protect the vulnerable from the evil one, oh God, who would hurt and harm. Lord God, we ask you to protect the vulnerable, those that are sick and shut in and have no one, those that have issues with their mental health or their physical health, those that are born special, protect them from those that would harm and hurt them. Protect our babies, God. For we are trusting in you, Lord, today to heal this land, to heal the hearts and minds of people, that wickedness shall not prevail. Father God, I lift up the name of Jesus today, believing that his blood covers your children, believing his blood covers us, and that we are forgiven for our sins, oh God. Help us to be better human beings and to walk in your image, that folks that see you in us and see your light shining. Father God, we ask you to guide and lead and protect. In the name of Jesus, Father God, I decrease as you increase, Father. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength. And you, Lord God, are my redeemer. In Jesus' name, I lift up this word. I lift up this planet. I lift up all the people that walk in darkness and ask you, Father God, to shine light upon them, that they will be convicted to do wrong anymore. In Jesus' name, amen. I wept when I saw this beautiful baby kidnapped by this woman named Anita in Kenya, who had no remorse whatsoever for stealing this child for the highest bidder to sell them to, because they were a really cute, good baby, and she could get a lot of money for them. It broke my heart to see this beautiful baby being used as a commodity, like you're buying a pound of ham. You need, 15 pounds of turkey. It was that simple, no biggie. And it broke my heart. So we're going to get in our word today, but I ask you, please, pray. Pray and pray some more for a move of God in Kenya. A move of God that changes the landscape, that changes the hearts of people to want to help and not harm. Pray for the people of Nairobi, selling babies. All over, babies being sold because maybe a mother is barren and a husband wants to keep, she wants to keep her husband, so she buys a baby. It's some scary times, damn it. And as we in America, get ready to see more babies abandoned and left at church doors. It's coming. It's coming. And we as Christians better get ready to be parents, to be grandparents, to be surrogates for children that are being born and not wanted from the likes of evil ones that would do, to get those babies that would do harm. We've got to pray, because what goes on in one place, you better believe, it's just a matter of time for it to go on here. We're not immune to evil, but we are a country that prays and prays and prays and prays some more for our children. And let's get in our word this morning that he blesses us. Thank God that he covers us. Thank God that he is in charge of everything. And the word that God gave me this morning is, for you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. You alone are God. And I thank him that there's only one God and that he loves us so much. And he cares about us so much. I can only say thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us as a nation. Thanking God this morning for his word. And let's get into it. We are coming out of a new book this morning. Yay, new book. We are coming out of the book as well. And it just says, from our Know Your Bible, does not state it, but traditionally attributed to Ezra the prophet. Approximately 530 B.C. to the mid-400s B.C. it was written. Spiritual renewal begins after the Jews return from exile. That's 10 words or less to describe what we're reading. And the details, please. About a half century after Babylonians sacked Jerusalem and carried Jews into captivity, Persia is the new world power. King Cyrus allows a group of exiles to return to Judah to rebuild the temple. So 42,000 people return and resettle the land. About 70 years later, Ezra is part of a smaller group that also returns. He teaches the law to the people who have fallen away from God to the point of intermarrying with nearby pagan nations, something that was strictly forbidden by Moses in Deuteronomy 7 and 1 through 3. Quotable from Ezra, Ezra has prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and teach in Israel statutes and judgments. 7 and 10, 7 verse 10. Unique and unusual about Ezra, though God has said, I hate divorce, Malachi 2 and 16 and IV, Ezra urges Jewish men to separate from the foreign wives. So what? In Ezra, God shows his willingness to offer a second chance, allowing a nation that has been punished for disobedience to have a fresh start. Guess what? He's still in the second chance business. Hallelujah. Thank God for second chances. Lifting up God's word today. And it says in Ezra chapter 1, now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom in writing, saying, thus said Cyrus, the king of Persia, we know Persia is today Iran, all the kingdoms of the earth, the Lord God of heaven has given me, and he has commanded me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah, who is among you of all his people. Why his God be with him? May his God be with him. Let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is God, oh, hallelujah, which is in Jerusalem. And whoever is left in any place where he dwells, let the men of his place help silver and gold with goods and livestock, besides the free will offering for the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. Then the heads of the fathers' houses of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, with all whose spirits guided moves, arose to go up and build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. And all those who were around them encouraged them with articles of silver and gold, with goods and livestock, with precious things, besides all that was willingly offered. King Cyrus also brought out the articles of the house of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had taken from Jerusalem, and put in the temple of his God. And Cyrus, king of Persia, brought them out by the hand of Meliodatus, the treasurer, and counted them out to Shethbazar, the prince of Judah. This is the number of them: 30 gold plates, 1,000 silver platters, 29 knives, 30 gold basins, 410 silver basins of a similar kind, and 1,000 other articles. All the articles of gold and silver were 5,400. All these Sheshbazzar took with the captives who were brought from Babylon to Jerusalem. And life lessons and a life example from chapter 1 of Ezra says this. In Ezra 1:1, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia. Can I say that again? The Lord, as the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus to act on behalf of his people, so can he act in the hearts of those in authority over you for your benefit. He is sovereign, and he acts in response to prayer. God acts in response to prayer. That's why we pray for our children. That's why we pray for our nations. That's why we pray for our planet. That's why we pray. So God hears us. He acts in response to prayer. Are you praying today? Are you lifting up the name of Jesus today? Are you praying for someone to help someone's heart? Are you praying for our planet, for our country, our countries, for our world? Prayer changes all kinds of things. Cyrus, an instrument of God, mighty men and ruthless conquerors may come and go, imposing their will on those in their path. But the Bible reminds us that the will of only one ruler ultimately matters. While the decree of the Persian king Cyrus sent Ezra back to Jerusalem, Scripture makes it clear that he did only what God prompted him to do. The Bible says the Lord issued his proclamation that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. 2 Chronicles 36:22, Ezra 1:1. And if we go back over to 2 Chronicles 36:22, which we read on yesterday, it says this. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and also put it in writing, saying, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth the Lord God of heaven has given me, and he has commanded me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah, who is among you of all his people. May the Lord his God be with him, and let him go up. Woo, hallelujah. And if we go back to verse 21, feel the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath. As long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. For we know that Jeremiah prophesied that they should go on, build houses, don't listen to false prophets, because they was going to be there for 70 years. And 70 years they were in captivity in Persia. And as we go through the word, it says this from Dr. Stanley. Exactly, this had been prophesied more than a century before by the prophet Isaiah, who called Cyrus God's anointed and shepherd, and said the king would do everything the Lord had called him to do, even though God had said to Cyrus, you have not known me. Isaiah 44:24-28, 45:1-5. God rules and he uses whomever he chooses. Can you say it with me? God rules and he chooses whomever he chooses. God should never forget that. Who is in charge of our life? It is not you. It's not me. It is God. And he trusts us. He loves us. But he wants us to be guided in the right way to go. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. You alone are God. There's nobody but one God. And it says this, now these are the people of the province who came back, of the province who came back from the captivity of those who had been carried away, whom Nebuchadnezzar had the king of Babylon had carried away to Babylon. And he returned to Jerusalem and Judah, everyone to his own city. Those who came with Zerubbabel were Joshua, Nehemiah, Sheriah, Realiah, Mordecai, Belshan, Mizpah, Bigvi, Rahum, Rehum, Benai. The number of the men of the people of Israel, the people of Parosh, 2,172. And he goes on to give all the names of the people of God. And this morning, I am not going to go through all the names of the people, but I will come back with a life lesson. The life lesson, as we go to verse number 15. And in verse 15, it tells us, the people of Aden, 444. The people of Atar, Hezekiah, 98. The people of Bezai, 23. And it goes on to tell us in this lesson, says that Israel 1:5, all whose spirit God had moved arose to go up and build the house of the Lord. So all these names that are in chapter 2 were all moved by the Spirit of God to go home. God not only moves the spirit unbelievers such as Cyrus to act in certain ways, but he also moves the spirit of his people to practice particular actions. To walk in the spirit is to obey the initial prompting of the spirit. Whew, I love God and he loves us. He loves us all. And as we continue, it talks about all the different households and where they went. And then as we get down to, it goes on to verse number 40. We're going to go to 40. And it says, the Levites, the son of Jeshua and Kedemiah, of the sons of Hodavai, 74. The thing is, the sons of Asaph, 128. The sons of the gatekeepers, the sons of Shalom, the sons of Itar, the sons of Taman, the sons of Ichab, the sons of Atiah, and the sons of Shabbai, 139 in all. And it gives us a whole list. And it goes on to tell us in verse number 55 of chapter 2, the sons of Solomon, sons of Sophiarite, the sons of Peruda, the sons of Jela, the sons of Darkon, the sons of Gidai, the sons of Shephatiah, the sons of Hittail, the sons of Perkekarat, Azebium, the sons of Ami, all the Nethinim, and the children of Solomon's servants were 392. You know, and it goes on to tell us the whole thing. And it's listed, verse 64. The whole assembly together was 42,360. Again, all of the people that were named in this chapter, the whole assembly together was 42,360. Besides the male and female servants, of whom there were 7,337. And they had 200 men and women singers. The horses were 736. The mules, 245. Their camels, 435. Their donkeys, 6,720. Some of the heads of the father's houses, when they came to the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem, offered freely for the house of God to erect it in its place. According to their ability, they gave to the treasury for the work 61,000 gold drachmas, 5,000 minas in silver, and 100 priestly garments. So the priests and the Levites, some of the people, the singers, the gatekeepers, and the Nethinim, dwelt in their cities, and all Israel in their cities. Send them home. And as we go to Ezra 69, it says, 2 and 69, according to their ability, they gave to the treasures for the work, to give according to our ability, not according to what we do not have. Acts 11, 29, 2 Corinthians 8 and 12. And he loves to bless what we are willingly offer to him. The Bible counsels us to give not grudgingly or of necessity, but God loves a cheerful giver. Are you giving cheerfully? Are you grudgingly giving? Yet understand, God will never be a debtor to anyone. You can never outgive God. Hallelujah. We can never outgive God. And as we go into our psalm this morning, it is Psalm 86, 6 through 10. So the 86th psalm, verses 6 through 10. And it says this, give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. And this is where our title is coming from this morning. Our title is coming out of the 86th psalm. And it tells us, for you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. And let's see where it comes from. It says, give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Again, prayer changes everything. And attend to the voice of my supplication. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon you, for you will answer me. Did the Lord not tell us, I will never leave you or forsake you? That's his word. Among the gods, there is none like you, O Lord. I'm saying it again. Among the gods, the little g's, there is none like you, O Lord, nor are there any works like your works. All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. There's no other God besides our God. All those little G's don't mean it when you have the big G. You have the biggest thing ever. You have God, and God alone takes care of his children. All we have to do is have faith. Hallelujah. Do you have faith this morning? Faith in God, because God loves you more than you could ever imagine. Proverbs 21:15-16. It is a joy for the just to do justice. Did you catch that? It is a joy for the just to do justice, but destruction will come to the workers of iniquity. A man who wanders from the way of understanding will rest in the assembly of the dead. Let's do what's right, God, and what's right in the sight of man. Let's do what's right. It's hard. We're not perfect. We all understand that, but we still must do right. Treat each other right. Love God with all our heart right. Do what do unto others as you would have them do unto you right. We got to do what's right, because the word tells us, for you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. We got to pray those prayers. We got to understand. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer and attend to the voice of my supplication. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon you, for you will answer me. We got to believe that God will answer our prayers, that God will take care of all our needs, that God is God and he is in charge of everything. Hallelujah. Do you trust God today? Are you believing that he is the truth, that he is the way, that he is the light, that he is Jesus? Do you believe? And as we get into our New Testament word, we are coming out of the book of Acts, chapter 21, starting at verse number 18. And it says this: on the following day, Paul went in with us to James, and all the elders were present. When he had greeted them, he told in detail those things which God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord, and they said to him, "You see, brother, how many myriads of Jews there are who have believed, and they are all zealous for the law. But they have been informed about you, that you teach all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, nor to walk according to the custom. What then? The assembly must certainly meet, for they will hear that you have come. Therefore, do what we tell you. We have four men who have taken a vow. Take them and be purified with them, and pray their expense and pay their expenses, so that they may shave their heads, and that all may know that those things of which they were informed concerning you are nothing, but that you yourself also walk orderly and keep the law. But concerning the Gentiles who believe, we have written and decided that they should observe no such thing, except that they should keep themselves from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. Did you catch that? As Gentiles, they're not saying that Gentiles have to be circumcised to do all the things that the Jewish population does. But they do say this, that Gentiles must keep themselves from things offered to idols. Can't be worshiping idols. Can't be worshiping and eating food from idols, from blood. You know, get rid of that red steak, blood everywhere. From blood, from things strangled. You know, we don't know what we're eating, if it's been strangled or not. That's why we pray over everything we eat. And from sexual immorality. They kept it simple. And it goes on to tell us that Paul took the men, and the next day having been purified with them, into the temple to announce the expiration of the days of purification, at which time an offering should be made for each one of them. Now when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews from Asia, seeing him in the temple, stirred up the whole crowd and laid hands on him, crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This is a man who teaches all men wherever against the people the law in this place. And furthermore, he also brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled this holy place. But they had previously Demas and the Ephesians with him in the city whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. And all the people were disturbed, and the people ran together, seized Paul, and dragged him out of the temple. And immediately the doors were shut. Now as they were seeking to kill him, news came to the commander of the garrison that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. He immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down to them. And when they saw the commander and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. Then the commander came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains. And he asked who he was and what he had done. And some among the multitude cried one thing and some another. So when he could not ascertain the truth because of the tumult, he commanded him to be taken into the barracks. When he reached the stairs, he had to be carried by the soldiers because of the violence of the mob. But the multitude of the people followed after, crying out, "Away with him!" Paul was about to be led into the barracks. He said to the commander, "May I speak to you?" He replied, "Can you speak Greek? Are you not the Egyptian who some time ago stirred up a rebellion and led the 4,000 assassins out into the wilderness?" But Paul said, "I am a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I implore you, permit me to speak to the people." So when he had given him permission, Paul stood on the stairs and motioned with his hands to the people. And when there was a great silence, he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, saying, "And we will find out tomorrow what he said. That is our way for this morning." And we have read this morning, Ezra chapter 1 through chapter 2, verse 70. We have also read Psalm, Proverbs 21, verses 15 through 16, and Acts chapter 21, verses 18 through 40. But before we get out of here, I have a few life lessons. And the one is from Psalm. And it says this, in Psalms 86 and 6, it says, "Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer." If God already knows all our desires and needs, then why should we pray? One word, relationship. God wants us to open up and express ourselves to him. If God were always to fill our needs without us seeking him, we'd never be vulnerable with him. However, when we pray, we open ourselves to receive his love, power, wisdom, and provision. Psalm 86 and 7, "I will call upon you, but you will answer me." It takes faith to pray. Probably why it's sometimes so hard to get on our knees before God. We wonder what good will it do. However, we are assured that God hears us and provides for our needs when we seek him. Therefore, don't look for other ways to solve your problems. let it fall upon him with full assurance that he will help you. Hallelujah. Are you calling upon God today? Are you telling him, for you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. That is our prayer. We know who he is. And all he asks is for us to pray, pray and pray some more. Acts 21 and 32. And when they saw the commander and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. They were beating the tar out of Paul. And the thing is, all of it was based on a lie. Based on a lie. The Asian Jews who had been following and harassing Paul wherever he went just happened to be in the synagogue. And because they had seen him with Trophimus, the Ephesians, they just assumed that he had brought him in to the temple when he had not, for he went into the synagogue. Paul had made himself prepared to go in to do what he had to do. But because of somebody hollering from the audience a big lie, this is the one we was telling you about. You know what they, what did they say now? When the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews from Asia seeing him in the temple stirred up the whole crowd and laid hands on him, crying out, men of Israel, help! This is a man who teaches all men everywhere against the people, the law in this place. And furthermore, he also brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled this holy place. For they have previously seen Trophimus, the Ephesian with him in the city, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple, who they supposed just lying on assumption. And I love this word. It says, even before Paul's conversion, let's go back actually to the verse that it says, and when they saw the commander and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. Even before Paul's conversion, Jesus told Ananias, I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And that was in Acts chapter 9, verse 16. Paul did not like beatings, but he expected them and rejoiced in his identification stood by and watched them stone Stephen to death. Paul had been in the crowd beating and stoning other Christians, taking them to jail. And now he was suffering the same fate as some of those that he had done the same thing to. So he understood what was going on because he had done it himself. It was almost as if he was a light flash of the things that he had done. But we have to stand up. Paul never once faltered in what he had to do for Christ. And we cannot either. We got to pray. We got to lift up. We got to believe that all things work for our good, that whatever we ask of the Lord, he will do it. He already knows our problems. He already knows our situations. But we got to get up and do some things ourselves. God's not going to bless your mess. So we got to get up and go to work. And it says in our word one more time, for you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. There's only one. Talk you into foolishness. There's only one God. And he loves you. He loves you more than you can imagine. He loves you because you belong to him. And before we get out of here this morning, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, who was up early this morning. We were both up, and I actually sent her a note asking her, what are you doing up this early? But we all know that God wakes you up to do what he calls you to do. And this word for yesterday morning, we did not get to it. And it was this: good morning, no matter what bad circumstances may rise up against you. And we all know that the Jews have been slavery. They have been taken by Babylon, and now they were under the Persians. None of them has the power to take you out of your place in God. And what did God do? He put it on Cyrus's heart to send some of them home. 42,000 plus went home to rebuild the house of God. So no matter what bad circumstances may arise up against you, none of them has the power to take you out of your place in God. Have a triumphant Tuesday is what she said on yesterday. And today, to be happy. Woo! Did y'all catch that? Because so many times we walk in sadness and not even knowing that we walking in discontent. We walking in discontent and don't even know it. Where everything is an argument. We always ready to fuss and fight, not understanding you are not being happy. You are walking in discontent. And that's not what God wants for us. That's a trick of the enemy. Defeat the enemy. Choose to be happy. Don't let him steal your joy. Come on, sis. You know Sister Carolyn is preaching this morning. Give God praise despite what is going on with or around you. I will praise you. Hallelujah. No matter what I'm going through, praise is what I do. We got to praise God in all of our circumstances. Praise God when you don't have enough to pay the rent, because understand, God will provide. Praise God when your lawnmower breaks down for the third time and your grass needs cutting, because you know that God will make a way out of no way. Hallelujah. Praise God when you get the big bill and you're like, oh, Lord, I'm going to pay this. God will make a way when you don't even know what you're going through. God got you covered. Honor God first and everything else will fall into place. Hallelujah. Have a warfare Wednesday. Have a warfare Wednesday, believing that God has got you covered from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. Understand that everything will work for your good when you are trusting in the Lord. Defeat the enemy and choose to be happy today. Don't let him steal your joy. I'm reading this again. Give God praise despite what is going on with or around you. Honor God first and everything else will fall into place. Have a warfare Wednesday. It's time to go to war. But we know the battle is not ours. It is the Lord. Know that God's got you covered. He's got you covered. He's got you covered. I say it again. He's got you covered. All you have to do is have. Whew, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for this mighty word this morning on the 20th day of July. And as we go into our prayer this morning, it is coming out of Acts chapter 20, verse 35, ESV. A giving heart. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Whew! And we all know how tight this can be, so tight that you are holding on. I'm going to hold on to what I got. But if you look through, there's this teeny tiny little bitty hole in that balled up fist that everything you're trying to hold on to slides right on out of. But when you turn your hand over with palm held high, you hold it up to give. You find yourself holding it up to receive. And you receive more than you give because God is blessing you. by your giving. By giving with a heart that is joyful and ready to give to God. We give with a joyful heart. Joyful giving. You know, folks pay tithes, but some pay tithes begrudgingly. Well, I got to pay my tithes. That's not a giving heart. That's not a joyful heart. But some will give more than their 10% because they're giving from their heart. They're being cheerful givers. A cheerful giver gives more to God, even the 10%, because they're giving it from their heart, not out of obligation. We can't pay our tithes and we can't give to God out of obligation. We got to freely give to God. You know, I almost sometimes want to say erase the title tithe from your vocabulary and put in free will offering, because a free will offering most of the time is more than any tithe can be, because tithes sometimes are given begrudgingly. But a free will offering, I give with a cheerful heart. You know, somebody may give only owe 10% of their tithe might be $10. That 10% is $10. But when you say give freely from your heart, they may give 20. They may give 30. They may have asked God, and God has given them a little X, and they gave 50. But their tithe was only 10. Because you ask them to give with a cheerful heart. Give with a cheerful heart. And I will guarantee you, you will get more than what a 10% tithe is. Because you have some folks that's going to give 10%, and that's all they're giving. Because they're giving it begrudgingly and not from a cheerful heart. Give from a cheerful heart. I love to give. I love to pay my tithes and give my offering, because I know that God has blessed me to give it. I want to be like that to my giving my last to God. And I'm giving my last to God where my wallet is totally empty, because I gave everything in it to God. Not because I had to, not with a begrudging heart, but because I wanted to and I felt compelled to give to God what I had, more than the 10%, because I freely gave it with a cheerful heart. So we need to remember that a cheerful heart, a cheerful giver, is going to give more than a begrudging tither. Ask God to show you what you are. Are you a begrudging tither or are you a cheerful giver? Because when you're a cheerful giver, you'll give more. A giving heart is what you must have. Gracious God, you are so generous. May I follow the example you set in freely giving of my resources and time to serve others. You do not hold back from me, so let me serve others kindly, remembering whose lead I'm following. You know the tendency of my heart to receive freely and to store those things up, so I'm not naturally quick to give things away. As I intentionally follow your precedent, may it become more natural. I have, after all, been given a portion that comes out of the overflow of your heart. I know there is more where it came from. Now, may I not grow tired of serving others, building them up so they may have courage to turn around and do the same when they are able, knowing that you are abundant in mercy and rich in compassion. I certainly won't hold back either of those as I pour out in service. I trust that when I come to you, you will fill me up again every single time. Ooh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's be cheerful givers today. Let's give God our best praise. Let's pray for our children. Let's pray for the homeless. Let's pray for those that are without, because there, by God's grace, could go any one of us. What can you give away more on a regular basis is a question for today. Are you giving your time, your tenth, and your talent to God? Are you using your 3 T's for the kingdom? Well, I pray that you do and that you will, for God loves you. and he wants the best for you. And we have to always keep it in our hearts and keep it in our minds who he is. Hallelujah. There is none like our Father God. And there will never be another like our Father God. There will not be any like our Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the one and only Son of God. We are just adopted, but Jesus is the absolute. He is our Lord and Savior. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. And I'm going to read this 46th Psalm one more time as we give out, as we lead out this morning. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're active, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Be blessed, family. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplication. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon you, for you will answer me. Among the gods, there is none like you. And we're talking little G's again. O Lord, nor are there any works like your works. All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. And in the name of Christ Jesus, I lift up all of you. I ask God to bless and watch over all of you. I thank God for you all, and I ask God to bless you all. Bless you with health. Bless you with overflow. Bless you with all that you need and more than you could ask for. The Lord God knows what we call upon him for in the middle of the night. I call upon God for your healing. I ask God to bless you, to keep you in his loving arms. In Jesus' name, may all work for your good as we move forward today, lifting up the name of Jesus and thanking God for being the wonderful and awesome and mighty God that he is. Thank you all for listening in, family. Have a blessed and wonderful day. It's time for me to go to work. I love you all, and I thank God for you all. And again, please pray for our children. Keep our children in your prayers foremost, especially those that are living on the streets, especially those that are in countries that have no laws like we do, where babies are being snatched and sold. Pray for our brothers and sisters in countries where children are commodities. Pray and pray some more. But we need Jesus, and we need him now. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap.